You're listening to Charlotte Real Estate Talk with Pridemore Properties.
Hello, Scott Pridemore here with Mike Hagee for another episode of Charlotte Real Estate Talk. Today, we welcome Andrew Dunn with the Charlotte Agenda. Welcome, Andrew.
Hey, thanks for having me on.
It's our pleasure. So let's get right into this. We read your stories, your insightful stories that you share on topics of real estate and other things relating to real estate. With respect to the Charlotte market and the seller's boom that we are in, tell us, what neighborhoods are you seeing to be the most in demand currently in the Charlotte market?
Yeah, that's a great question. And I just did a piece on this for Charlotte Agenda, taking a look through some of the data that Zillow puts out on their home values for neighborhoods around the city. You know, we're many years into the real estate boom here, and it seems to me, you know, looking at the data, that the hottest neighborhoods have kind of gone from the center of the city out farther and farther out. So what we're looking at this year, maybe a year or two ago, you might have been looking at your Dilworths, your Wilmores, your West Ends, your Noda, Villa Heights, and now we're starting to get into that ring just on the outer side of that. East Charlotte in particular is really hot right now. I mean, I've actually brought a little bit of data with me here. So the top neighborhood in Charlotte as measured by year-over-year home value appreciation is Westerly Hills. So that's actually over on the west side.
Yeah.
And that it's nearly 50% home price appreciation over the past year, 50%.
Wow.
It comes at 48, but that's unbelievable.
It's incredible. I knew it was strong, but
that strong.
Yeah, hearing it, that's really amazing.
Yeah, it certainly is. And then from there, we'll go over to the east side and a little bit north uptown. A lot of this is around where the Blue Line Extension just opened up. So you've got your Hidden Valley, your Villa Heights, and your Sugar Creek area. Those are all more than 30% home value appreciation over the past year, even all the way up to 40%.
Wow. I can tell you from the realtor's perspective, sometimes we're so close to the ground, it's hard to sort of see that as you're giving us the 1,000-foot level and hearing these numbers where because this is what you do, you have time to really study those numbers and crunch them. So Noda University, Noda is probably also getting some of that benefit from that extension as university. Where do you see that in the next few years? Do you see it continuing on up to University City?
Yeah, I definitely do. And a lot of that, I think, is going to happen. Right now, we're seeing a lot of apartment development in that area.
Yeah.
And I think over time, over the next 3 to 5 years, you're going to see people who had moved into those apartments maybe want to move up to a single family home, but want to stay in the same area. So you may see them, that may drive some demand for townhouses, new home construction, renovations, or just people moving into existing homes there.
Absolutely. So I'm just curious, you're so in tune with what's going on in Charlotte real estate wise. What area of town do you live in?
So I actually live very close to Pineville, down in the South Mecklenburg area. Was lucky to get in there 3 or 4 years ago. Before, it's been experiencing its own home price appreciation as well.
It has. And in fact, I think, Mike, you were there a few weeks back. I saw you posted on Facebook that
Yep.
you were in a new home development down there and you had some buyer's contract.
Right, where half the neighborhood's Pulte community is half is on South Carolina and half is on Pineville. It's a great, great community, kind of hidden gem out there. But yeah, there's so much growth happening down there in the South End. It seems like all over the city, really. I mean, the average statistic we've heard, maybe you can clarify the number of families moving to our area at this current time of recording, is around 60, 70.
Yeah, well, the number keeps going up.
It keeps going up. It's hard to gauge.
For a while, it was 40.
It's 40, right.
And now all of a sudden it's 60. I'm not exactly sure how they calculate that, but it feels right. And, speaking of Pineville, I think Pineville in particular is getting ready to blow up. LendingTree is looking at moving its headquarters there, doing some development down in that part of town. I think that's going to drive a lot of demand.
I'll tell you something I found very interesting. It was in an Observer story earlier this week or this past weekend, how Red Ventures, they're building employee housing on their campus. 250, I believe, employee housing right there over the North Carolina-South Carolina line.
Yeah, that was a fascinating story. And it goes with the whole live, work, play mantra that people right. have these days, that, you know, people want to live and work and eat and, you know, go to movies all in, you know, without having to get in their cars. I would expect to see more of that. I think you'll see that with LendingTree, and I think AvidXchange is moving in that direction as well over at the Music Factory.
Oh, fantastic. Wow. Yeah.
I'm curious on that note. You guys are entrenched in the know. This is obviously what you do full time. Where do you gather these? Is there a certain, you know, place that you're going to kind of gather the inspiration for staying on the cutting edge in that way?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, the news business is still much more of an art than a science. I've been in Charlotte for 7 years now and gotten to know a lot of people. You know, when I moved here in 2011, we were still very much down in the depths of the recession, not a whole lot going on. So it's been fascinating just over that, even just the relatively short period of time I've been here, to see this city grow and explode with activity.
I'm a native Charlottean, so I grew up, you know, and we talk about that, we jokingly, and how nothing looks the same. And the 10 years, Charlotte's going to look different than what we see today.
Let's talk about that, Mike. You grew up in sort of southeast, more east, but
yeah,
sort
Oakhurst
of southeast
on the fringe, right yeah. there on Monroe
and,
Road.
And then we look over at the east part of Charlotte with Eastland Mall and that site. Tell us what you think will happen over there. What do you think that's going to look like?
Oh boy, I wish I had a crystal ball. You know, I've been following that story for years and years, and it almost seems like we're back to square one there. There was, you'll probably remember 3-4 years ago, there was all these big plans for a movie studio. I think somebody had even proposed like a artificial ski slope there. That didn't go anywhere. The latest I've heard is the city is back collecting, you know, proposals. I think, you know, there's a greater desire from the current city council to do something transformative with that property. I would expect, I don't think anything will really happen with that until we find some company that's, that wants to put a decent size office tower there. I think that's going to drive the rest of the development there. But, it takes time for something like that.
Absolutely.
As we talk about all the hot buttons of development and the growth and the rate of appreciation, there's a hot topic on the other side of the coin of affordability. And how does that work? Seems like a lot of middle-class homes and the affordable families. Do you feel like there's pricing and obviously normal re-gentrification, people get moved out, rents go up. But are you seeing that as being an obvious problem as well?
Yeah, I mean, it's certainly something that Charlotte is going to have to continue to deal with. And that's another, there are neighborhoods, I could point to the Cherry neighborhood in the Midtown area, where the city council says, we messed up in not preventing the rapid gentrification that's happened there, where, old mill cottages were torn down and now you've got, $700,000 townhomes being built there, which is, it's a great part of town. I understand why people want to live there, but, there is... There's a human element to it as well. As lower income people get pushed out from the center part of the city, there's other issues that come along with that. I know CATS, the Charlotte Area Transit System, is trying to figure out, so how do we best serve people with bus service if they're not living as centrally as they once did? Now, affordable housing, and there's all sorts of definitions for what affordable housing is. But the city is still trying to figure out what's the best way to address that. I did a story a couple weeks ago that the way the city is doing it now, which is essentially subsidizing developers through the housing trust fund. So if you're a developer and say, I'm building this apartment community, I'll reserve X number of units to be affordable, then you can get some money from the city. But the way, that way, it's going to take 1,200 years for Charlotte to address the current affordable housing shortage. So, obviously that's not a tenable solution. So I'd expect to see more experimentation over the next year in that.
Absolutely. Good points there. So what are you currently working on for any upcoming stories? Anything that you can give us an inkling of what you're... what we should expect to hear or see?
Yeah, I mean, well, the story that I was working on right before I came over here was on those apartments that Red Ventures is building. More information to come on that.
Okay. Yeah. I'm anxious to see that. Absolutely. So we're big fans of Charlotte Agenda and the stories that you produce. In fact, as we were talking before sitting down to do this podcast, we have clients that'll, when you produce your real estate stories, they'll send them to us and tag us in a Facebook post and thank us for helping them. And maybe you mentioned a particular neighborhood where a client lives, and they'll reach out and thank us for helping them identify a great community with, you know, walkability or what have you. And the popularity of a Charlotte agenda in recent years has been incredible. To what do you attribute the growth of Charlotte agenda readership?
Well, that's a big question. I think, one major factor has just been, we launched at the right time in Charlotte. So we launched in mid 2015. So that was right before, Charlotte had been growing pretty fast for a little while at that point, but it was right on the cusp of another major boom here in the city. A lot of our readers come from newcomers to the city. We actually are getting ready to release volume 2 of our annual magazine, which is a newcomer's guide. So your listeners should be watching out for that. But the growth of Charlotte in general has been great for our business.
Absolutely. And I know you speak on all things Charlotte. Do you ever have articles regarding outside of Charlotte? Do you feel like growing into areas, other large cities within North Carolina is on the horizon for the agenda brand?
I'll never say never. Right now we feel like there's a lot more room to grow here in Charlotte. And we do some coverage outside of the city. I've done some coverage on Kannapolis and Gaston County, mostly in a real estate and development context. We really feel like real estate and development more broadly is the hottest topic in Charlotte right now, one of the most important issues in the city.
On that note, we've touched on how close side of South Carolina is getting a lot of new development, residential as well as commercial. What do you see that area? Do you see it continuing to grow and more or less compete with in-town Charlotte for buyers and developers and companies?
I do. And I keep telling my wife that we need to move down to Fort Mill. Every time I go down there, there's something new. It's booming.
It is.
And it seems like, like you mentioned, every month, it seems like there's another company that's jumping over the border. Now, South Carolina, a different state government, a different kind of philosophy on economic incentives. There's a lot more land if you're trying to build a new campus. You're almost tapped out here in Charlotte unless you want the urban campus. If you want a little bit more of a suburban campus feel, then you really have no other choice than to go over there.
If you can, share where listeners can go to read more about your stories a little bit more.
Yeah, if you haven't already, make sure to sign up for the Charlotte Agenda newsletter. We send out an email blast every morning around 7 a.m., so charlotteagenda.com. If you have any hot news tips, send them my way, andrew@charlotteagenda.com.
Fantastic. Andrew, could you give us some insight with regard to longleaf politics and how politics play a role in Charlotte real estate?
Yeah, so Longleaf Politics is a site that I launched earlier this year to cover everything North Carolina government, state politics. Your listeners have probably gathered that there's a little bit going on in Raleigh right now, and it seems like there's always something going on in Raleigh. And in the state of North Carolina, the legislature actually has so much control over everything that goes on in cities around the state, including Charlotte. So longleafpolitics.com, I have a weekly newsletter there, and your listeners, I'd love it if your listeners were able to sign up for that as well.
Oh, absolutely. I'm looking forward to logging in and getting more information on that. Thank you so much for joining us today for another episode of Charlotte Real Estate Talk. Mike Hagee, Scott Pridemore with Andrew Dunn. Thank you, Andrew.
Thank you.
Listen, download our podcast, or find out more about Charlotte Real Estate at PrideMoreProperties.com.